Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do, to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin there in verse 26 in just a moment. But before we do that, I do want to take a moment and I want to thank Max for offering yet another hope-filled, life-changing series this fall. We just closed our series, Awestruck, as we went through the book of John and we were looking at the miracles of Jesus. I hope that your faith has been strengthened. I hope that your heart is more open to a miracle than it ever has been before. I know that mine is. Well, today I'm excited because we are getting to begin a brand new series, and we've entitled it The Wonder of Christmas. Now, I personally love pretty much everything about Christmas. I love the lights, I love the music, and I love the movies. And by the way, speaking of the movies this year, I don't know how I missed this before, but our family has stumbled upon the made-for-TV Christmas movie. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? Hallmark, Lifetime, I just got an, oh yeah, okay, I'm speaking to the right group. So we've kind of stumbled upon these, but we've watched a few of them. Did you know that this year alone, just for this Christmas season, Hallmark produced 22 original Christmas movies just for this season alone? That's like for a total of over 150 original Christmas movies just on Hallmark. That's a lot of movies. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to see them all. But then again, I kind of have this strange feeling like maybe I have seen them all. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? I mean, listen, we've only watched a few of them, but I'm, you know, at some point I'm like, Alicia, did we watch this one already? I'm not really sure because, now I'm not knocking it because, you know, I'm really enjoying these movies, but there's usually the main character, the protagonist in the story, who's usually from the big city, and for whatever reason, they're usually a workaholic, and they're a little disillusioned with life, and for some reason, disillusioned people end up going back to their hometown, or back to some small town, or out in the middle of nowhere for whatever reason. And for whatever reason, it doesn't matter where they go, their high school sweetheart is waiting there for them. And their high school sweetheart, and so there's always some project to do together, even in the middle of nowhere, and they work on it together and they fall in love. But then this is a problem because the big city fiance usually shows back up at the most inopportune time, and they fall out of love for about 5 minutes, and then they fall back into love, and they kiss, and they live happily ever after. And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, you guys have been watching these movies, haven't you? And here's the crazy thing about it. I've only watched a few of them, but I'm beginning to think I know what's going to happen in the end. And I keep watching. I know what's going to happen, but I keep watching. Maybe we need to put a support group together or something. I don't know. But isn't that a little bit of a part? We know what's going to happen, but we watch anyway. And that's part of why we love Christmas. Because it's the same. It's the same lights, it's the same music, same songs we've heard before, the same movies, it's the same, it's nostalgic, it's familiar, we've heard it before, we've seen it before, we've experienced it before, it just feels familiar, the same, until it doesn't. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're thinking about this Christmas season that's coming up, and it's not that it's necessarily you're thinking it's going to be bad, you just know it's going to be different. Maybe some of you younger kids, maybe you're looking at your transition year. You guys know about the transition year? Yeah, that's the year you go from getting toys for Christmas to socks and sweaters and clothes. Oh yeah, kids, it's coming. But at some point, there's another transition where people just quit getting socks and sweaters. You just get gift cards and cash, and that's a pretty cool transition. But you just know it's going to be different. Or maybe you're a little older. Maybe you're here. You're here for college. You're away from home, and maybe Jesus got a hold of your heart this semester. But you're already thinking about heading back home and seeing old friends. And well, you just know it's going to be different. Or maybe it's not been necessarily a good change. Maybe this year, while some people are embracing Christmas, you're bracing for it. Because you know Christmas is going to be different this year. Maybe it's because a relationship has dissolved. Maybe it's because this was the year that you received a diagnosis. Maybe you're even watching online right now because your health has declined and it's hard to be here, gather. And you're not looking forward to the call to the kids to say, I just can't make the trip this year. Maybe it's not health. Maybe you know that Christmas is going to be different this year because, well, you just know that someone's missing. A spouse, a loved one. And it's not necessarily that Christmas has to be bad, but you just know it's going to be different. And you can't help but wonder, can Christmas still have the wonder? If that's you, I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you're watching online, you're listening, because I believe that God has a word for you. I believe that he has a word for those of us who are even bracing for Christmas. We're going to look at the wonder of the Son through the eyes of a young girl named Mary. But before we do that, I want us to pray together. Let's go to the Father. Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to open your word. We do seek you. We want to see you and only you. Would you reveal yourself in all of your glory to us that we may reclaim the wonder of the true meaning of Christmas. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. All those who agreed said, amen. Well, I hope you do have your Bibles. I want to invite you to open them to Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin there in verse 26. But I thought we would do something a little different as we read the word today. I've got a felt board here. Maybe you called it a flannel graph. How many of you grew up seeing one of these? Maybe in Sunday school? Okay, quite a few of you. And I know some of you have absolutely no church background, but maybe you've seen one of these. And before every service, we went out and we scoured the audience for a young child to come and be our first volunteer. And so I think we've got one over here. Do we have, was you, can you come on up and help me? We're going to tell the story here. Will y'all give Samuel, I believe his name is, a round of applause here. Come on up here, Samuel. How many of you have ever seen one of these used in a sermon? Yeah, me either. Okay. Thanks for coming, Samuel. Samuel, what's your name?
Samuel.
Oh, that's right. That's good. Okay, we're off to a good start. That's good. Well, hey, buddy, here, are you excited about Christmas?
Yes.
Okay, you going to take the mic? Okay, you can just take it right there. Okay, you just hang on to that. I'll take that back in just a minute, though, okay? All right. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're gonna read the word, but I want to paint a picture for these guys. Can you help me with that? I'll tell
yes.
you what. You're going to have your hands full, so if it's okay, I'm going to take this. I'm going to put this right back here. All right, so we're going to read, and then I'm going to hand you a few pieces here. We're going to paint a picture. All right, beginning in verse 26, this is the word of the Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, Samuel, if you put that one up there, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying. She's greatly troubled. That's why I guess she's facing the other way, right? She's greatly troubled at the saying. That's what we had. And tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign in the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative is Elizabeth. In her old age, she has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. No, I'm just kidding. We can just leave it up there. We're just going to leave it up there for right now. Hey, will you guys give Samuel a big round of applause for helping me out? Hey, thanks, buddy. Hey, appreciate you. All right. Thank you. Okay, let's take this picture and let's make it a little more three-dimensional. What do we know about Mary? Well, we know that Mary is betrothed. We know that she is engaged to Joseph. We don't know exactly how old she was, but according to Jewish tradition, she was probably around 12, 12 and a half, maybe 13 or 14. We're not really sure exactly how old she was. Maybe Joseph was a little bit older. But we know that she was fairly young. I had an opportunity this past week to speak to a group of FCA students, and they were about that age. They were middle school, 12, 13, 14. I said, can you imagine being engaged to be married at your age? And their eyes got really big. And one girl right in front of me, she pretty much summed it up when she goes, ew, boys are gross. Smart girl. But I get it. Times have changed, right? So things are a little bit different than they were for Mary and for Joseph. Something else that was different. You see, today, if we were to be engaged and we broke off an engagement, there's little to absolutely no legal implication. Not so in her day. There was legal recourse for to break off an engagement. This was very serious. So you see, Mary, she was facing a disruptive derailment to her plans. She was facing a divine dilemma, a daunting decision. Now, I don't want to mislead you to think that Mary is the point of Luke's story here in chapter 1. See, God is the star of the show. God the Father. God, three in one, perfect unity, perfect harmony. God the Father sends God the Son. And God the Son is conceived by God the Holy Spirit. It's as if, as C.S. Lewis once put it, this beautiful, great dance. He called it the great dance. We saw it in Genesis chapter 1 and in chapter 2 when God, three in one, in creation, involved in this great dance as he involves Adam in the garden. It was perfect. It was beautiful. Perfect harmony, perfect rhythm, perfect oneness. But then, as we continue to read in Genesis chapter 3, sin enters and the dance was destroyed. The rhythm, the harmony, the oneness, it was lost. Then we fast forward to Luke chapter 1. It's almost as if God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are once again extending a hand of hope down to earth to Mary and all of humanity, saying, let's dance again. And all the angels and all the heavens leaned forward to hear her answer. But they lean forward to hear yours too. You see, God not only has extended his hand to Mary some 2,000 years ago, but today he extends his hand to you. Mary said, yes. But what about you? Have you said yes to God? Let's take just a moment and let's be a little more specific. A little more specific, what exactly was it that Mary said yes to? Well, as we read through this passage, the first thing that I see is that Mary said yes to the favor of God. Mary said yes to the favor of God. She receives this message from the angel Gabriel. You have found favor with God. But you have too. Yes. You, maybe that's the message that you need to hear this morning, is that you too have received grace upon grace. You have received favor. You are loved by God. You are chosen, beloved, son, daughter. Mary had to choose to hear that voice. Because here's the thing that struck me as I was reading this passage. At the same time that Mary is receiving the favor of God, she is about to receive the unfavor of the world. The talking behind her back, calling her a liar or worse. She had to choose to hear the voice of God because the unfavor of the world was coming. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Life of the Beloved, said it like this. He said, in the midst of our extremely painful reality, we have to dare to reclaim the truth that we are God's chosen ones, even when our world does not choose us. As long as we allow the world to determine whether we are chosen or not, we are caught in the net of a suffocating world that accepts or rejects us according to its own agenda. You say, to say yes to God, Mary had to say yes to his voice, the voice that said, you are chosen, you are favored. We have to choose to hear that voice as well. We have to choose to hear that voice over all the other voices in the world, including our own, the negative self-talk. You're not good enough. You're not, you don't know enough. You haven't done enough. Whatever that voice is, we have to choose to block that voice out. See, you have been created. You have been chosen for a purpose. But to be able to hear that truth, you have to hear it from the one who created you, the one who chose you for that purpose. Another way to say that is, I am who the I am says I am. I am who the I am says I am. Will you just say that with me? I am who the I am says I am. Say it one more time like you mean it. I am who the I am says I am. And when we begin to receive that identity that is given to us by our Creator, we begin to see the wonder regained. Mary said yes to the favor of God. Will you? Number two, Mary said yes to the power of God. The angel Gabriel brings her a message. Says the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the what? Power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then I love this. For nothing will be impossible with God. You see, for some of us, it's not that we doubt God's love for us. It's simply that we doubt our ability for Him. We're just caught up on what we think we can do or what we can't do. Why did God choose Mary? Was it because she was so well financed? She was just loaded and God said, that's her. No. Was it because she was well connected? No. Was it because she had such great life experience? You see, from the story of Mary, we begin to understand that God is not concerned about our ability. He is more concerned about our availability. Mary was simply humble and available. And God said, that's the one. That's the one that I want to use. See, Mary had to believe more in God's power than she did in her own. She said yes to the power of God in her life. And number three, finally, Mary said yes to the Son of God. She said yes to the Son of God. Philip Yancey once said, in every work of God, there are two edges, great joy and great pain. What we see in Mary is the first person to ever embrace Jesus on his terms at great personal cost to herself. I have to think that raising the Son of God brought great joy. You know, how about that moment where some snarky parent says, "Well, you just think your kid is just perfect, don't you?" Mary, she was humble, so she didn't say it out loud, but in her heart was like, "Yep." I am sure it brought great joy. But let's not gloss over this. Let's not sugarcoat this. To say yes to the Son of God brought great pain as well. Mary was young, but I have to think that she thought, this is going to hurt. Now, I'm not talking about giving birth. I'm talking about giving her heart to one who was already so willing to make himself so vulnerable in an evil and chaotic world. I wonder if she held him in her arms, stared into the face of God, and thought, if you're willing to put yourself in my arms, what else are you willing to do? How far are you willing to go for the sake of the world? It wouldn't be long until Mary found herself at the foot of a cross, and she knew exactly how far he was willing to go for the sake of the world. She had to know that it was going to bring great joy and great pain to say yes to the Son of God. But in spite of all, she said yes. So what about you? Have you said yes? I don't know exactly what it is that God may be calling you to say yes during this season. Maybe he's calling you to say yes to gratitude over cynicism. Maybe he's calling you to say yes to giving, to generosity over just receiving and consuming this Christmas season. This is why, as a church here at Oak Hills, we're so passionate here at the end of the year, thinking about this next year, strengthening families. So as families are stronger, being able to overflow into the community, to be able to serve this true expression of Christ within us, and being able to set up future churches for the next generation. We feel God is calling us to say yes to that. So I don't know, maybe God is calling you to be more involved in what he's doing here at Oak Hills Church. Maybe God is calling you to make weekly worship services more of a priority in your life, or serving in your church, or giving, or joining a group, being a part of a community that you know is going to sharpen you. Maybe God's just calling you to invite someone to come back with you next week, and you already know who that someone is. I don't know what God is calling you to, but I know this. I know that whatever he is calling you to, he has already given you the ability to do. Whatever he's calling you to, he's given you the ability to do. So, we have wrapped up our series we called Awestruck. That was about miracles, but make no mistake, we are still talking about miracles. In fact, if you think about it, and the gospel writer, John, before he ever records a miracle of Jesus, he recorded the miracle that was Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 14, he said, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling," where? "Among us." There'll never be another miracle quite like it. But I still believe that God is in the business of the unbelievable. I still believe that God is in the business of the unexpected, if we'll only take a moment to see it. The other night, Alicia came home after dark, and she said, "You guys, you got to go out in the backyard and just look up in the sky. The stars are beautiful." I mean, here's the thing you have to understand about Alicia. If she sees a beautiful sunset, if she sees a rainbow, we're all getting a text in our family, and you need to drop what you're doing and go outside and look at it right then. So we did. We've learned. And so we all went out in the backyard, and she was right. It was amazing. I mean, there were so many stars in the sky. It was just one of those clear nights. We were in the backyard where it kind of shielded the street lights. And I mean, it was amazing. And I had this thought, you know, the stars are always there. I know I'm blowing your mind right now, right? But they're always there. They don't go away and then pop back out at night. It's just that during the day, the sun's so bright. It's just that sometimes at night, the clouds, sometimes we just can't. But every once in a while, when the sun sinks beneath the horizon and the clouds dissipate, and we take just a moment to look up, it evokes a sense of wonder. We've entitled our Christmas series, "The Wonder of Christmas." My hope and my prayer is that it will do for you what Alicia did for me. She simply pointed me to the wonder that had been there all along. I simply had to take time to look. I simply had to say yes. And I hope you will too. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your love, for your compassion, that would cause you to send your one and only Son. Father, this season of Christmas, it can be distracting, it can be busy, we can, like a starlit sky that's just cloudy. Sometimes we just can't see. Maybe we don't take time to see. But Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you would show us the true meaning of Christmas, who you are, what you came to do. And Father, we as a church, we just want to be a part. We want to be a part of the restoration, the restoring what was lost. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray these things. Amen.